Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at IKEA-USA.com/circular. Visit IKEA-USA.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
This is the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, folks. We're going to talk some money and politics with John McIntyre, President and CEO of Real Clear Politics and Real Clear Media, and Steve Moore, FreedomWorks and Committee to Unleash Prosperity Hotline, and WABC radio host of More Money, which follows this show on many of these very same stations. Gentlemen, welcome. I want to talk about Mike Johnson, Michael Johnson of Louisiana, who was the new Republican Speaker of the House. A very smart guy, a very conservative guy, certainly an oil guy. He's wants to cut spending. Oh, my gosh. He's a tax cutter. I mean, he's a real conservative. I'll begin with you, John McIntyre. What do you think of this story, Michael Johnson? Very interesting.
Yeah, I think it is very interesting, Larry. And I think, you know, there was a lot of hyperventilating over the last 2 or 3 weeks about the, chaos and the Republicans can't get their act together and that it was going to, you know, be a real problem for them next year. And I think, look, I think when you get out with regular folks in regular America, and you know, the medium and long term and the actual policies are what they're concerned about. And I think it could have been a mess depending on how they went. But I think the fact that they got somebody in here with Johnson that is really aligned with where Republican voters are today.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really important. And I think the fact that, I think people in the conference think of him as a nice guy. He hasn't made a lot of enemies, which look, you know, at the end of the day, like that's kind of what did, former Speaker McCarthy in. And so I think he's in a position now, to do well for the Republicans in the House. Now, again, it's going to be, you know, how they follow up and what they do. But I think, you know, there's a kind of a difference between the Senate leadership and the House leadership. And I think over on the House side, you have leadership there that is more in line with where Republican voters are today. And I think that's a political plus moving into next year.
Well, I mean, Steve Moore, he's a Trumper. That's very important. In fact, he was an attorney defending Trump on impeachment charges. He's a constitutional lawyer, which is very interesting. He's a smart guy. He also has a good sense of humor. I had Senator Kennedy on, John Kennedy, who said that Johnson does great imitations of people, so I'm dying to hear that. Steve Moore, do you know him? I don't really know him. I've met him, but I don't really know him. Have you met him? You know him?
I've met him once or twice. I wouldn't say I know him very well, but, you know, I think he's a miracle worker. He has turned water into wine. He has parted the Red Seas. He's got to 217 votes. Republicans could do. So it's pretty amazing given where we were a week ago. And I have to say, I mean, conservatives who, like me, who really didn't know much about him are kind of falling in love with this guy. I mean, he's done everything right in the first 4 days. His speech when he took the gavel was really amazing, and I love the way he reached out to the Democrats and said, you know, let's try to work together. And even they, you know, didn't smirk too much at that. He went in adding to the things that you just said about Larry, that I love, he was one of the first people who wrote a letter to the Department of Education and to the teachers union saying, open up the damn schools.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the first people on that. And, of course, we now know that this was child abuse, that we left our schools shut down for month after month after month. He has good instincts. That's my point. And so I think, you know, that he may have stumbled on the right choice. It was like, you know, when the British, finally settled on Queen Elizabeth.
Well, so I think that here's one thing that's coming up. So Biden is going to ask for about $150 billion and growing in foreign aid and so-called emergency aid, which is just a lot of crap. But Speaker Johnson has already said, if you want to spend more money, this is a generic comment he made, if you want to spend more money, then you got to pay for it with spending cuts elsewhere.
Yay.
All right?
Yay.
So, right. So that's, I know that titillates you.
We said that in the hotline the day he was, you know, he was nominated and got the votes. You know, any new spending bills, this is, you know, you can't cut 1 or 2% of the budget to pay for this stuff. I mean, it's totally absurd. And this is an important thing. The other thing I want to see connected to this, if we are going to give all this aid out, and I'm against it, but if we do, I also feel very strongly should come from a commitment from Joe Biden that at least temporarily he's going to end his war on American energy.
Mm-hmm. And a Louisiana congressman would echo that, would he not?
You would think so.
I mean, I like that. You know, John McIntyre, the guy's from the oil patch. Okay, let's face it. I mean, it's Louisiana's. I don't know what else they do down there. I'm sure they do some things, but I'm just saying, you got yourself an oil patch speaker. You got yourself, correct me if I'm wrong, John, is this the first Southern speaker we've had in God knows how many years, 100 years or something?
You did have Gingrich in there, and then, I mean, you actually had, I don't know if you remember this name, you know, Bob Livingston for about 3 weeks. So hopefully Johnson makes it longer than that. But I think he will, knowing a little bit about his background there on that.
I think your point, John, he is closer to the center of gravity in the GOP, which is really, let's face it, it's a Trump center of gravity. And he was a very strong Trump supporter. And I think that weighed on this speakership. Some of the other candidates were not strong. I mean, Emmer was basically almost an anti-Trumper. But saying, I think culturally and fiscally and in terms of oil production, fossil fuels, he kind of checks off all the boxes, doesn't he, John?
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, look, it's also on the foreign policy side where, to the point of spending cuts, like I think that's aligned with where the voters are saying, hey, if we're gonna spend this money, you know, like, you know, the money's coming from somewhere, so we got to spend less somewhere else. What are we giving up? So he's making the point, we got to bifurcate. We're not going to just smash the Ukraine package with the Israeli package. We're going to bifurcate that, and then people are going to ask themselves, you know, like, there's a real disagreement between the kind of Senate leadership and the House leadership on just how much the American taxpayer wants to send tens of billions month after month to Ukraine without a long-term strategy or goal. And I think Johnson's sort of viewpoint and policy on that, it is way more aligned with Trump. And most importantly, it's way more aligned where Republican voters and all American voters are. And I think that's a real, you know, asset look moving into the next year, because the more unified a party is, and from their nominee down through their leadership, the more excited voters can get behind them and supporting them.
I mean, Steve Moore, you know, another $60 billion to Ukraine. I mean, the reason that should be broken out, because we need a discussion about Ukraine. Where's the exit strategy? Where's the diplomatic strategy? Where are we going on this, and for how long? All right. I don't, look, I'm obviously opposed Vladimir Putin. You just can't march in and take over countries. You have to respect boundaries. You have to respect international law. I get that. But do you have to put $100 billion in every year? That's got to be a big question. And I think I think John's right. I mean, I don't think the country wants unlimited money to Ukraine.
Well, we, you know, there's a question about whether we can afford to continue to be, the world's policeman. And I'm turning more and more non-interventionist in my own thinking. And look, I was a Reagan Cold Warrior. You know, we had this in the Soviet Union. Mm-hmm. But I think the American people are exhausted, after what happened in Iraq and Afghanistan. And also there's a real skepticism that I share with a lot of people that how much of this money is actually getting to the people in Ukraine.
That's right.
So there's so much corruption in foreign aid right now. I was at the David Horowitz conference this weekend. I'm actually in Louisiana, in New Orleans, and I asked the crowd when I gave my speech, how many of you support Ukraine funding? And only one out of three people out of the 200 people there raised their hand. So there's a lot of skepticism about whether U.S. foreign aid money is having an impact. And people are nervous about what's happening in Washington. They think we have an incredibly fragile economy, and I tend to agree with them. So I think a lot of people is, let's take care of our own economy first and foremost.
All right, take a break. John McIntyre, President and CEO of Real Clear Politics and Real Clear Media, and Steve Moore of FreedomWorks and Committee to Unleash Prosperity. And don't forget Steve's WABC radio host of More Money following this show on many of these stations. I'm Kudlow. We'll be back with some more.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
No matter what you're looking for in a non-alcoholic beer, there's only one name that has it all. Athletic Brewing Co. Full flavor? It's athletic. Huge variety? It's athletic. Award-winning styles you can get online, at the bar, or the grocery store? It's athletic. In fact, when it comes to amazing non-alcoholic beer, there's no question. It's athletic. Ask for it and find out. Go to askforathletic.com to find your closest retailer today. Near Beer.
Hey there, Brenda.
It's Carol.
Exactly. So which leg are we operating on?
You mean arm?
It's all connected.
Asking the right question can greatly impact your future.
Are you sure you're an orthopedist?
Actually, I'm a Sagittarius.
Especially when it comes to your finances.
Do you have a question? Are you a certified financial planner?
Yes, I'm a CFP professional.
CFP professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Larry Kudlow. From Wall Street to the White House, this is the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Larry Kudlow. We're talking money and politics with John McIntyre, President and CEO of Real Clear Politics and Real Clear Media, and Steve Moore of FreedomWorks and Committee to Unleash Prosperity, and WABC radio host of More Money. John McIntyre, I'm looking at Real Clear Politics betting averages. Trump 34, Biden 31. And then I'm looking at the primaries. Trump 71, DeSantis 9, Haley 8, Ramaswamy 4. Trump going to be president, John McIntyre?
Well, look, if you were a betting person, he's the favorite right now, and that's what the betting odds show.
Yep.
And I think what's interesting there, and what you read off, and it's kind of disconnected from the sort of, you know, political media coverage you see, it's like, I mean, the reality is Joe Biden is way less likely to be the Democratic nominee than Donald Trump, the Republican nominee. I think any astute observer of the situation, in politics would say that. And these betting markets say that, okay? I mean, you know, they have Trump at, 71% and Biden just over 60%. Mm. And I think, I think the Republican nomination now is just in a very different place than it was at the beginning of the year. And you can also see that, and it's interesting going back looking at the betting odds, because at the beginning of the year, DeSantis was actually the leader as the favorite to be president, okay, with 30-some percent. Mm. But, somewhere around February, March, that the race really started to change. And, and here we are looking at the beginning of November. And the reality, Trump is almost like an incumbent president in a nomination kind of context. I mean, when you're up 40 or 50 points, he's not participating in debates, which is what incumbent presidents do. Joe Biden's not participating in debates. I think as long as two months ago, I think the thinking was that he would probably participate, in the third, fourth, or fifth debate. But I think now, based on where things are, I think that's an open question whether he'll participate in any of these primary debates, because, pretty soon, you're going to have this one next week, then you roll into Thanksgiving, then you got the kind of holidays coming up, and then people vote in 2 weeks. Hmm. So, I think the takeaway there is it's more likely that Joe Biden is not the Democratic nominee than Donald Trump is not the Republican nominee.
Steve Moore, you're in that camp that Biden won't be the nominee.
Yeah,
I want to ask you.
Yeah.
Look, you may well be right. What do I know? But I'm just saying, this guy, Dean Phillips from Minnesota, he's a big Minnesota liberal, throwing his hat into the ring. Now, it's interesting to me. He will run in New Hampshire. Biden is not going to run in New Hampshire. Now, mm-hmm. I think that's a very interesting development because there'll be news stories, Philip wins primary in New Hampshire, and that will undoubtedly give Gavin Newsom and some others some orgasmic feelings about this. I mean, I don't know much about Dean Phillips. I don't follow any of that stuff. He's just another Minnesota lefty as far as I know. But the question is, do you know anything about him? And the second question is, Biden not on the ballot in New Hampshire, Phillips will be.
So go back to 1968, if you will, when Lyndon Johnson was president.
Yeah.
And you may recall that was it McCarthy? Who was it that almost upset him?
McCarthy.
Yeah, McCarthy. And all of a sudden, it was a free-for-all. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
A few weeks after that was when Lyndon Johnson made the shocking announcement that he would not run for re-election. And then, you had everybody getting in at that point. And look, this guy who's running from Minnesota, he's not going to be the Democratic nominee. Okay, he's not. But I think that the Democrats are now looking at three choices. One of them, obviously, is Gavin Newsom, who I love the column by Holman Jenkins today. He said, he went to China for some photo ops with President Xi, and he said he showed some leg. Gavin Newsom. The guy's an empty suit, but he's good looking and he wants photo ops. And I'm sure all they talked about in the meeting was climate change, by the way. And then you've got Gretchen Whitmer of Michigan, who worries me because she's from Michigan. Republicans have to win Michigan. She won a pretty big re-election last fall. And then Amy Klobuchar. And I would say those three. And then you've got the Kamala problem. Right? Yeah. How do they get Kamala out of the picture? Because as Holman said today, she's the only politician in America less popular right now than Joe Biden. And so it's a big mess on the Democratic side. On the Republican side, if I were advising Governor DeSantis, and I'm a friend of Governor DeSantis, I think he's been a spectacular governor. He should get out of this race. He really should. Because he has a bright future. He could run again in 2028, but it ain't happening for him, right? It just isn't happening. And I think the more he goes on, that kind of the weaker he looks. Two other quick points, if I may. Number one, last night at this dinner I was talking about, the dinner speaker was Tulsi Gabbard. Do you know her, mm-hmm. Larry? She got a standing ovation. She was sensational. She's spent the whole speech talking about how the Democratic Party left her, and they don't believe in civil rights. Mm-hmm. They don't believe in the Constitution. It was a spectacular speech. I'd love Donald Trump to maybe think about her as a vice presidential nominee. And the other thing I wanted to say mm-hmm. is that one of the big gala dinners this week by the Daily Wire, one of the speakers was RFK Jr. Now, I know you're not sold on him too much, but he got a standing ovation, too, because he talked about civil liberties. Mm-hmm. He talked about the Democratic Party. And he said, I learned from my uncle. You'll love this, Larry. He said, I learned from my uncle the value of cutting tax rates.
Yeah, I know. I knew you were going to say that. Look, I asked him when Bob Kennedy Jr. spoke at our Committee to Unleash dinner, I asked him about that, obviously. Yeah. I wrote a book on the subject, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And he just said yes. He didn't go into any detail, and Laffer didn't let him talk about it, but he just said yes. I would renew the Trump tax cut or something, I don't remember. Sort of give lip service to tax cuts. John McIntyre, what is Robert F. Kennedy Jr., what's his future in this race?
Oh, well, look, I think he has potential impact. I mean, there's two open questions there. Like, ballot access is very hard in this country. So, you know, I think there's a real question of where he's able to get ballot access. But to the point of Steve's point at that Daily Caller dinner, if he does get ballot access, I firmly believe he's a taker of votes from Donald Trump.
Wow.
You know, he's really representing that Tulsi Gabbard. He's representing disaffected Democrats who they're historic Democrats who see that their party have left them. These are people that are not going to vote for the modern day Democratic Party. And given just a binary choice between Trump and Biden, I think these people are more than 50% Trump voters. Okay. But if they got a choice of voting for RFK Jr. Or Trump or Biden, they may very well go in and pull the lever for RFK Jr., even though they know that he isn't going to win anything. So I think that is something definitely to keep an eye on. But look, we're going to have more, you know, Cornel West might be there. He's got the same ballot questions. It was a big deal that the Democrats were able to sort of pressure him to get off the Green Party line. Because ballot access is critical. It's like whether you show up on the ballots or not. And then you got this no labels thing going on too, that may be an interesting component. So this could be this has a lot more vibes of the 2016 race than the 2020 race. Because in the 2016 race, you had a four-party race there with Gary Johnson and the Green Party candidate. So you may actually have a five-candidate race this time with West, you know, Kennedy and a no labels candidate.
So let me help you on this. Who won in 2016?
Well, there you go. I think
who won in 2016? I'm looking at Monica Crowley's piece. Monica was on the TV show last night. The world needs President Trump now more than ever. There you have it. It's all you need to know. Steve Moore, fabulous stuff. John McIntyre, thank you ever so much for coming on the show. Folks, I'm Kudlow. We will be back next weekend. Thanks for listening.